There were serious technical difficulties in the center of this disc, and we apologize for any inconvenience it causes anybody. We've tried to save as much of this person's message as we possibly could. Thank you from the folks at High Voltage Audio.
I give y'all Jimmy A from Dayton, Ohio. If you're grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, let's acknowledge the God of your understanding. I'm an addict named Jimmy. I want to thank Almighty God for allowing me again, just for today, not waking up dope sick. I want to thank the programming committee, all the members of the programming committee, and all the members of all the subcommittees of this convention for this awesome invite. And we have a lot of cliches that we say in this fellowship, and I'm gonna say a few of them, but I'm gonna put a disclaimer on it. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and it's a pleasure to be asked to come to the Chesapeake Potomac Regional Convention of Narcotics Anonymous 24. I don't say that stuff because it's a cliche we say. I say it because it comes from the heart. It is an awesome honor to be asked to do anything for Narcotics Anonymous that is in the will of my higher power. Me and my good friend Kirk, we drove here, it took us almost 10 hours. But we've been doing this here for a while now, and it's been instinctive to make the journeys. Because this ain't nothing but a form of service work. Tradition too, Sherman. This is for the people who want to know how the fuck did Jimmy A get up here to be the spiritual speaker. Yeah, that's another thing. I want to say that. I heard somebody say, you the spiritual speaker. I haven't heard an addict say spiritual speaker in some years, man. You know, when I first came to Narcotics, now we were calling the Sunday closing speaker the spiritual speaker. Then I heard an addict say it yesterday, and I said, oh, man, he brought me back. But I'm going to put some new flavor on the spiritual speaker. Tradition two, when a group or committee has sought direction from a loving higher power, it may ask some of its members to help carry out that direction. When we ask members to serve, we don't set them apart as being somehow better than the rest of us. I'm not better than no addict in this fellowship. I'm not less than no addict in this fellowship. Leadership in NA is a service, not a class of membership. For this reason, we call our leaders trusted servants. That's what I am this morning. I'm a trusted servant for the God of my understanding. My position this morning is of service work to carry the message to the Chesapeake Potomac Regional Convention 24. We all know our fifth tradition message, that an addict, any addict, that means the fat addict, the skinny addict, the white addict, the black addict, the Mexican addict, the Asian addict, the rich addict, the poor addict, the gay addict, the straight addict, the intelligent addict, the not-so-intelligent addict, any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope, and the promise is freedom. Any addict seeking a conscious contact with God need never die from the horrors of addiction. I've been coming around NA long enough to know that the message ain't a one-person event, but a two-part experience. Messenger, listener. As God worked through me this morning, may He work through you. Closing morning speaker. I called Mom this morning. I got a lot of friends here. A lot of friends here on the East Coast, period. And y'all, most of y'all know my story. I'm talking about my recovery story. I hope to God all of us in here who have claimed addict status has two stories. A drug addiction story and a recovery story. I'm going to put more emphasis on my recovery story because sometimes my recovery story can be more sordid than my drug addiction story. But I called Mom this morning, and like I've always been doing for a couple of years now, just to check in. And my mom said, do what you do, Jimmy. I'm all right. Can't wait till you get back home. My mother's been real sick for the last 2 years, 3 heart surgeries, up and down. It's been real touch and go with Mom's. We just buried my brother last month. And I've shared it in different places where I've been asked to come and share. Y'all taught me early on in my journey to pain shared is pain listening. Come to us. Y'all said come to us and share how your life on life turn situations are affecting you. Don't hold it in. So I came to y'all for the last 18 months talking about my mother's condition. Well, I almost lost my mom a couple of times. I came to y'all and talked about my brother Donnie's condition. And watching the process of pancreatic cancer take Donnie away. And we buried him almost a month ago. And I'm sharing that to say that I want to thank the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to thank all the members of Narcotics Anonymous. This is my truth. My brother was my honcho. He was my partner. He was 3 years younger than me, and I watched the ugly process of pancreatic cancer take my brother away. They diagnosed him with it in 18 months ago. And to the day that God brought him home, I shared it with y'all. And I want to thank all the addicts. They called. They blew my cell phone up. I'm getting ready to put a hit on the love of the fellowship on a deeper level. They called from Boston, all up and down the East Coast, New York, New Jersey. They called from Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. Sherman worried me to death. They called from everywhere, from Detroit, Saginaw, Michigan, to the bottom of the country, Mobile, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, Dallas, Texas, San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas. They called from Northern California, Southern California. Jimmy, we love you, man. We love you. We're here for you. And that kept me erect. It kept me erect. I loved my brother, and I watched the ugly process of his disease of pancreatic cancer take him home. but I also watch the awesome process of God's perfect will being done. My brother was in pain, man. And I was going to the hospital, and I'm saying, Donnie, what you want me to do, man? What? Powerless, feeling the real true powerlessness of a condition and a situation. And my brother wasn't no recovering person, but he shared back with me like he had time in the program. He said, Jimmy, I see the fear on your face, but your fear is for you. I've made peace with God. He said, I've lived a happy, prosperous life. No, I don't want to die. He said, man, but I've made peace with God. And so whatever his will is for me, I've accepted it. And I had to get with that. And I had to get with the deeper aspects of what I was feeling, working with a sponsor, honestly, that he got me in touch with the self-centeredness. God don't take my brother just for me. So we buried Donnie. Y'all showed up. The fellowship showed up. Robert, my sponsee from Cleveland, Ohio, and all the sponsee members. Robert, man, I love you, man. They drove down to Dayton. Kirk, my best friend Kirk. They showed up, man. They called. They blew my cell phone up. And see, I'm saying all that to say this here. Then I'm getting ready to punch on the message that God gave me for y'all. That I went around and walked around this fellowship for years talking about the love of the fellowship. The love of the fellowship. Never really truly experienced the deeper level of the love of the fellowship until a traumatic situation took place in my house. And now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, with experience now, the deeper level of the love of this beautiful fellowship. I want to thank everybody for their concerns and support. My mother loves y'all. She loves y'all, man. She say, Jimmy, don't you never leave those people. She love y'all, man. Because the God of my understanding working through y'all turned me completely around 180 degrees. Let's get to it. Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige had a song that says, no more pain. No more drama. And in that song, she says, only God knows where my story will end. But I know where it began. So let's talk about where mine began. Who's an addict? In the basic text says, some of us believe that the disease of addiction was apparent in our lives long before we used. I fit that some of us, because I remember at 4 and 5 years old crawling around on my knees, falling down on the floor so I can look up my mama's dress, my sister's dress, any female who came into the house, I can look up under their dress. Why? Because I had a persistent, disturbing preoccupation with an oftentimes unreasonable idea or feeling. What I just described to y'all is obsession. Some of us believe that the disease of addiction was apparent in our lives long before we used. Fall out on the floor, Jimmy. Just fall out on the floor. So you can look up your mama's dress. Why, man? Because I had an obsession when looking at naked thighs, I got a rush. 8, 9 years old, the era I grew up in, we played games. The game that I loved the most was called marbles. Now, I know it's some addicts in here old as me that come from the era of marbles. I would do anything to get marbles. I would lie, cheat, steal, crawl on my hands and knees to steal your marbles. Sound like the same stuff we did for the drugs, don't it? Some of us believe that the disease of addiction was apparent in our lives long before we used. I was introduced to my first chemical around 9 or 10 years old. My uncle gave me a shot of Jim Beam. Our literature says alcohol is a drug. That Jim Beam tore my throat up. And my body was trying to tell me something. But because I've claimed addict status, I now understand why I said back then, give me some more. We learn in here about the disease of addiction. I love to say in my Dayton, Ohio area, you better learn your enemy. Your enemy is not the white man, Jimmy. You can cut that shit out. Your enemy is not the police. Your enemy is not that guy who knocked your woman off when you were sentenced to 5 to 30 years in the penitentiary. That's not your enemy. Your enemy wasn't the guy, man, who left you on a midnight burglary run and you ended up serving 4 whole years in the joint. That wasn't your enemy. Your enemy is a disease called addiction. And it lives right there within you. It got a couch and a color TV with a remote control right up here in your head. And it will wax your ass. So we learn in here about the progression of the disease. Alcohol just wasn't good enough. So I went on to, like most of y'all, I ain't got no unique story. Just different faces, different places. I went on, man, through the progression of substituting one drug for another until I met, now, I ain't that addict, man, who shares a olive, cause it sound good. I'm gonna just say that, was it just to fit in? I had a goddamn drug of choice. I said I'm going to put a new flavor on the spiritual speaker. I might say a few cussing words. Please don't judge me for that. I know I'm going to say ass and hell because those are approved words in our literature. Ass and hell. I'm going to use them two a lot. But my disease progressed with the substance. And I went on to all the other little drugs we used, but until 1965, I was introduced to a drug of my choice until I no longer had a choice in the matter. I'm from the era of the big hand people. You intravenous users know what the hell I'm talking about. But my hands looked like boxing gloves. And I went right past snorting in 65, the summer of 65, went right past snorting. Went straight to the vein. Took that first deep nod. Summer 65, Robert C. Didn't come out of that damn nod until April the 28th, 1992. In between them nods, I served 6 penitentiary numbers in the state of Ohio and 1 in Kentucky. In between them nods, I lost the ability to face life on life terms. In between them nods, I severed all beautiful relationships with my 5 kids I helped born to this world. In between them nods, I never had the ability to even look for a job, let alone wanting to work one. I came to Narcotics Anonymous at the age of 44 years old, never worked a job in my whole entire life, never. I came to Narcotics Anonymous according to our third step. I'm the addict who fits the literature. I keep it close to me. Our third step says a power that brought us to the rooms. And we ain't talking about no destructive power because the disease of addiction and drugs just ain't that kind for you to let you find a program that will save your life. It was a loving and caring power that brought me to the rooms of NA. at the age of 44 years old. He said, when it's time, it's time. And I was ready. My story fits the literature. The first step has a paragraph that tells my whole drug addiction story. It says, we reached a point, first step shit, where we could no longer continue using because of physical, mental, and spiritual pain. When we became beaten, we became willing. That's my story in a flash. I had become beaten. I had become beaten on all three aspects of our disease of addiction. It had to be all three. Roger, it had to be all three. It had to be the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. Because the physical whooping just wasn't enough. Man, if you spent six penitentiary numbers in one state and another penitentiary number in another, the physical whooping ain't enough. The mental whooping just wasn't enough because I was obsessed with hitting good licks with 2 and 3 years in this fellowship. It was a spiritual whooping. That spiritual whooping. Where I couldn't stand myself, man, when I got up in the morning, looked in the mirror, and still didn't like me. And when I got clean, I still didn't like me. Still suffered from self-loathing and self-hatred. No respect for self. I was just clean, that's all. Abstinence is all right, newcomer. Hang on to abstinence. Hang on to abstinence. Recovering relapse says, man, I hang on to abstinence come hell or high water until the crisis passes, whatever that crisis may be for you. But if your journey going to be anything close to what mine has been to this point, abstinence after a while becomes just like milk. The more you sit on it, it tends to spoil. We got an IP called 22, Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. In that IP it says that we get clean and recover. Two-part process, always will be. Get clean and recover. So I had to get to that point in this journey, early on in this journey, where I understood that y'all said, and the literature says, staying clean must come first. But what the hell comes next? We stay clean and recover. Second step says, now the journey of recovery can begin. But I had to get a new belief system. I had to get a new belief system. Because I did an honest first step. An honest first step. That stuff Thomas was talking about last night. When you do a real honest first step, juice should be flowing out your head. And the first step properly prepared me for a new belief system. The first step properly prepared me to understand that not only am I powerless over my addiction, but my life fell apart around my feet despite all evidence to the contrary. I denied it. And I had to get in touch with the information in the first step to get me in touch with starting the most valuable process of recovery, learning what the hell I was recovering from. Learn your enemy. Learn about the three components of addiction. Learn about the many symptoms of addiction. Quit telling the newcomer and your sponsees misinformed information that heroin and crack is a substance, is a symptom of bullshit. A chemical is not a symptom of my disease of addiction. First step says it is my inability to control my usage of drugs that is the symptom of my disease of addiction. It says it is my uncontrollable use of the chemical that is the symptom of my disease of addiction. And there's many more symptoms. And I didn't find that out until after I quit using drugs. So I went into that second step, properly prepared to feel that feeling that's on the inside of us once we claim addict status. And like the first step says in our 12-step working guide, have you made peace with the fact that you're an addict? Have you made peace with the things that you must do in order to recover? It's a three-word process. We call it the basics around this fellowship. Three-word process. No matter how much clean time that God allows you to acquire, the three-word process. My best friend Kirk shared about, Kirk didn't never shoot no drugs. Kirk ain't never been to penitentiary. Kirk, me and Kirk was like night and day. That's my best partner. When Kirk shared honestly about how smoking crack made him feel, being on carpet patrol looking for something he didn't drop. When I would hear Kirk share that in the meetings, but when he started talking about how it made him feel desperate, hopeless, and lost, I felt his pain. Because I felt those same feelings, man, in the dope dens, night after night after night, for years and years in shooting galleries, begging a summer gun, lead a cooker wet. Let me wipe your cotton. I felt his pain. I knew what it feel like, man, to not eat in 3 days, got $20, scared to spend two, cause the dope man don't take no shorts. I know what that feel like, man, to give up your ride for a 50-cent working piece that never worked no way. I know what that feel like. Quit your job because you think your hustling hand is so tight. I may not have done what you've done, but I felt what you felt. Thank God, man, that we don't deal with a specific substance, that we deal with recovering from a deadly disease called addiction, that is much more than my use of drugs, much more. I don't downplay the drug addiction because that was my major problem that kept me from getting to the ultimate problem. And if you don't learn how to address your major problem, that uncontrollable use of drugs, you will never get to the healing of the ultimate problem, which is me. I have a disease called addiction. My problem is not you. My problem is not my woman. You can quit going to your sponsor talking about she ain't this and she won't do this and she said this. And she my problem, sponsor. And he look back at you and say, you thinking she the problem is the damn problem. We got three disturbing realizations. Why are we here? Basic text, third chapter. One is, I'm powerless over my addiction and my life had become unmanageable. Two, that I am not responsible for my disease, but I am, I'm going to say this here with emphasis, but I am responsible for my recovery. I can no longer blame people, places, and things for my problems. I must face my feelings and deal. Now this sentence, you stay with me now. The next sentence after them three disturbing realizations says, you got my back, baby. You got my back. Okay. The ultimate weapon for recovery is the. It don't say shit about another recovering addict. It says the ultimate weapon for recovery is the singular word. Recovering addict. You're your own ultimate weapon. Quit trying to put that on others. Yes, we're your eyes and ears. Yes, we're part of the we of the fellowship. But ultimate weapon means uno, number one weapon. Use the tool that we give you. You the one gotta go to meetings. You're the ultimate weapon. Get into your three-part, three-word process. Keep coming back. Just don't use. Get a sponsor. Work the steps. Get phone numbers. Don't pick up. You're your own ultimate weapon, man. I'm responsible for my recovery. God, Donnie Dan. God, can't you see my brother Dan, God? What's happening here, God? I held Donnie's hand at last. 2 days, and the hospice nurses were there, and my disease said, Jimmy, just say something. Tell the hospice nurses something. Just say something to them. Tell them to do this or do that. Just get in the mix. Let them know that's your brother. But God says, shut the fuck up. Yes, he did, Rod. He said, Jimmy, just shut up. Don't say nothing. Just be a witness to my perfect will. My brother died in peace. My brother died with no pain. And all my family was there, my kids, my mom. We even had her there in the wheelchair. And y'all started calling. And it was just something, man, that I never dreamed that I would be able to experience. And I know I never would have if I had never stopped using drugs. I would have been missing in action. It was a time in my drug addiction for years that I was the low man on the family totem pole. Don't worry about calling Jimmy. He either doing time or he ain't gonna be found nowhere. And now I'm the number one man on the family totem pole. When everybody, you know, anybody in my family has a difficulty or a problem, I'm not saying that because the 11th step says, the 11th step say we go to God. My family said, let's go to God, and God sent us back to you. Call Jimmy. Call Jimmy. I'm number one on the family totem pole. Y'all, through this program and God working through y'all, gave me responsibility, structure, and courage. Step up to the plate, man. Let's do some things now that the symbol talks about goodwill. They're doing the right thing for the right reason. And that we now you can become freely whole and wholly free. Let's go over that again. Freely whole. That's the whole in the symbol that's spelled W-H-O-L-E. That means by according to Webster's dictionary, free of defects. I'm talking program here. I'm talking program here as found in our literature. Freely whole and wholly W-H-O-L-L-Y, free. That holy means total freedom. Total freedom. God cleans us up through the process of the steps. When I own up to it in the fourth step, when I own up to it in the fifth step, when I become willing to write about me because I made this the decision, and decision ain't gonna be nothing until I put some meat on it by going on with my life and the rest of the steps. And when I admit it and own up to it in the fifth step with a sponsor and Almighty God, and when I become entirely ready to have God, man, change me. Remove these defects of character. When I become entirely ready, I can't just be saying I'm ready. I got to show that I'm ready through my behaviors. When lust come creeping in on me at night, huh? Go ride, don't ride, don't ride, don't ride, man. Call Kirk. Man, I want to ride, Kirk. Sit your ass still, Jimmy. Read the chapter 4 or something. Don't ride. Don't bite on the feeling. And the feeling pass. And then when I fall short, I don't get beat up by y'all. If I'm messing with the right y'alls. But there's some of y'alls that ain't so right that can't wait to beat your ass up. But when I fall short, that's when I'm ready. That's when I am really ready for my seventh step. I go humbly to God, man. We ain't talking about in the seventh step humble. We ain't talking about a posture. We're not talking about a posture when we mention the word humble in the seventh step. We're talking about a condition. The God I can't, you can. Help me, please. That third step, seventh step, 11th step says in the work sign, why? Any form of prayer. Any form of prayer is communicating with God. If you're standing up in your shower and you want to get a conscious contact with Almighty God, any form of prayer. If you're riding down the highway like me and Kirk did, getting ready to do after this convention is over for 9.5 hours, and you want a conscious contact with God under the steering wheel, Almighty God, get us home safe, please. If you laying in the bed like me some days, you're too lazy because of the defect called sloth. Just don't want to get up. But you still need to make a conscious contact with God. God, here I am laying in the bed with my lazy butt. Any form of prayer is communicating with God. The fine print. Give me the sign, baby. The fine print, 8 and 9. Step 8 and 9. We don't tell you newcomers about the fine print until you start getting in the process of the step work. We tell you that you're not responsible for your disease. You are responsible for your recovery. Just do the best you can. Get a sponsor, work the steps to the best of your present ability. Fourth step says your present ability, because as you keep coming back, you find out that your present ability gets better and better. But by the time you get to the eighth step, the fine print is that you're responsible for it all. You got to go back and clean up that mess you made. You got to go back, Jimmy, and clean up that mess you make, because we're talking about freedom here. We're talking about freedom, and it's different stages, levels, and phases of freedom. The first freedom that all of us must have is freedom from active drug addiction. Without that freedom, ain't no more freedom coming. We got to get first that first stage of freedom, freedom from drug addiction. Then we get freedom through the embodiment of the steps, man, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Freedom from self, self-bondage. Freedom from self, self-bondage. Now we're talking about freedom from the past. Freedom from the wreckage of the past. 8, 9, you got to go back and clean up that mess you made. You want total freedom. Remember, symbol, freely whole, wholly free. Tenth step says if you want to maintain that freedom, then you look at yourself throughout the course of the day. You want to maintain that freedom? Look at yourself throughout the course of a day, man. Check your reactions, your responses to people, places, and things. How people, places, and things affect you, and how do you respond and react? Work on your relationship with Almighty God in the 11th step. The 11th step is such a powerful step that I live every day to the best of my ability. It's more than, God, what do you want me to do? It's about, God, thank you that I'm not coming to you, always asking you to do for me, please. Every step, Roger, preceding the 11th step was about, God, do for me. First step, God, do for me, God. Do for me, God, do for me. Take me off this dope. Relieve me of the obsession and compulsion to use drugs. God, do for me. Third step, God, do for me, God. Take my will in my life. Guide me in my recovery. Show me how to live. God, do for me, God. Seventh step, God, do for me, God. I humbly come to you, God. Remove me of this shortcoming, God. I can't quit acting out on this self-centeredness and this fear got me stuck. Do for me, God. By the time I got to step 11, ongoing process now, lifelong process now, but it was time that the previous steps had took you through the fire and gave you the armed tensile strength to be properly prepared to no longer just talk recovery, but walk recovery. God, what you want me to do for you? We sought through prayer and meditation. And for those of you who don't understand yet meditation, read your 12-step working guide, step 11. It'll give you the basics of what meditation means for us. Every time you open and close a meeting in the circle, and the man asks for, the woman asks for, a moment of silence. That's meditation. Quieting the mind. So from this day forward, when y'all go back to y'all home groups and y'all meetings and y'all's areas and y'all cities, and they close the meeting with a moment of silence and don't have no moment of silence, go right into the prayer, you stop them in their tracks. You say, hey, wait a minute, recovering addict. I need that moment of silence. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, talking about the steps of Narcotics Anonymous, we try to carry this message, not any message, not any message. There's a message for every arena in the world. Second tradition, this is a God-given program. God gave us this message. We try to carry this message that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. The last part of the message will gauge where your recovery is at. Have you embraced a new way to live? Are you still running from a new way to live? Practice these principles in all our affairs. Three words that takes that load off your shoulder in our literature. One is called practice. The other is called effort. And the other is called try. Practice, make an effort. Just try, Jimmy. Just try to live the program. I'm going to close with this here. You're going to have addicts if you haven't already. Most of the people in here who have a little time have experienced what I'm getting ready to share, so they know what I'm getting ready to say is our truth. Mostly for the newer members who are trying to keep coming back and get away from just lauding with intent to recover. You're going to hear people step to you and whisper that sweet nothing in your ear. Do you still go to NA? You still go to them old NA meetings? They hoodlums and pimps and hoes and crooks all up there in NA. They ain't spiritual enough in Narcotics Anonymous. They don't talk about God enough in Narcotics Anonymous. Well, this is for those people. All through our literature, the talk of God occurs. All through our literature, the talk of a higher power occurs. All through our literature, the talk of Him with a capitalized H occurs. All through our literature, the talk of it with a capitalized I, third step, occurs. All through our literature, the talk of God in the 11th step says, will not force His goodness on us, but we will receive it if we ask. Third step, God surrendering to the will of a higher power gets easier with daily practice. All through that third step literature, we go to God as our greatest source of strength and courage. When you are confronted with a difficulty that you cannot handle, you go to who? God! And ask Him to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Y'all told me, God damn it, y'all told me, Jimmy, in order for you to get to any solution, you got to first identify the problem. You got to identify that problem and call it by its proper name. My name is Jimmy, and I'm an addict. Thanks for listening.